Pray your socks off, people. How are you today, COC? You doing all right? Good. Super glad you guys are back with us for the last week of our bailout series, where we've been talking about generosity and understanding about time, talents, and treasures. Wanted to do one last push today, your last chance to sign up for Financial Peace University. Can I get any FPU alum out there going, what? Oh, look at there. That's awesome. That's cool. This is your last chance. Now, coming into last week, we had 36 people that had signed up. Then post last week, I've been told coming into this week, we've had 46 people that have signed up. So this is your last chance. Are Larry and Lori still in here? No. They were in the first service. Don't worry, they didn't skip church today. So phenomenal leaders, if you want to take back control of your finances and allow God to be interwoven within, please consider signing up for FPU. It has the potential to do some amazing things with you. So just fill this out. I know the baskets have already been passed, but you can drop this out in the courtyard in one of the baskets or boxes, this one, whatever. Just fill it out and let us know that you're interested, and we'll get in contact with this week, all right? Hey, last time, get your cash out. Come on, let's do this one more time. Guys, grab your wife's purses. Dig deep. Hey, come on, second service, let's go. This is one last time. Trust me, the first service, they've already had the big reveal at the very end of this service. I'm going to tell you what this is all about. Guys, come on forward. We're going to take one last cash offering, cash only. And I promise you, when you find out what this is, you're going to be like, I wish I would have gave. Okay? You want to be a part of this. Dig down deep. Look. I've got mine right here. I've done it every week, all right? So I'm doing what I'm asking you to do. Please dig down deep. One last give. Let's give this special offering. You're going to see what it is. It's super cool. I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss the opportunity. I'm going to pray for us. And by the time I'm done praying, you better wake up or I'm going to call you up here, all right? And I'm going to point you out today. There's no doubt about that's going to happen, because you need to wake up and you need to hear what God has to say for you. I'm going to pray. The people behind the baskets are excited because they could act like they didn't see the basket as it goes by and keep their money for their Big Mac today. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you so much for being such a generous giver yourself, giving us the Son of God to die for our sins, just a gift that has no price tag. It's unbelievable. And we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to give back. And we thank you for teaching us some incredible truths from the Word of God and how incredible you are to bless us. And I keep praying, Lord, today as we continue our last conversation today, that we would, more people would just come closer to the edge, just get a little bit closer to this generosity conversation that we have, and help them maybe cross over and get the big picture and take them to another level in their lives, Lord, to understanding how unbelievable it is to be able to give. And I just pray for those that are out there and they're on the back rows or whatever where they're at, and they're just like, at least they've just moved forward a little bit this year and in our conversations with generosity, and they'll be closer next year. But you tell us in Scripture, less are more. And so I just want to continue, Lord, that you would move in our lives, move in our hearts, keep us open-minded to hear what you would have to say. And I just pray that you'd move in a mighty way today. And everybody said, this left side, I'm just giving you your last warning. It's just going out real quick. I'm gonna call you up. I'm gonna set up some chairs up here. You guys, look, you got like 63 people in your family. So, I mean, get it going, man. Come on. Let's get this going. You're representing the whole left side over here. Well, my left side, your right side, all right? So let's get it fired up. Hey, listen, let me start off with a couple things, and I want you to just listen closely to these out of the gate. In 2007, the most recent statistic, 1.9 billion people worldwide, that's 28% of the population, had yet to hear the message of the gospel. There's two-thirds of people alive today that do not know the Savior of mankind. The population of unchurched Americans is nearing the 100 million mark. Oppressive governments deny religious freedom to 2.2 billion people worldwide. According to a Borgen Project study done in 2010, just 5 years ago, they did an estimate of what it would take to eliminate global starvation. And they estimated from 2010 to 2015, which is now, all it would have taken is $19 billion to eliminate, listen folks, eliminate global starvation and malnutrition. Add another $12 billion to that per year, and it would have provided education for every child on this earth. Then add another $15 billion, if we're just being generous here, each year could have provided universal access to clean water and sanitation. $46 billion, that's all it would take per year for 5 years to eliminate all those things. Conservative estimates indicate that all it would take is $1 billion a year financially to complete the task of the Great Commission. Share with those 1.9 billion that have never heard. Christians worldwide have personal incomes totaling more than $16 trillion, but they give only 2%, that's $370 billion annually towards Christian causes in the church. Overall, only about 3 to 5% of those who donate or give to a church actually practice biblical tithing, which is 10% of their incomes. Here's some bigger thoughts for you. If you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, someone's like, whew, that's not me. You got money in your wallet or just some spare change lying around, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthiest people. If you woke up this morning with more health than you did with illness, you are ahead of the 1 million people which will not make it through the week alive. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the agony of torture, the loneliness of imprisonment, or the pains of starvation, you are ahead of the 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a weekly church worship service without fear or harassment, without torture or threats of death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in this world. So I have a question for you out of the gate. Are we really like God? Or do we just think we are? Are we really, knowing all of that, are we really like God? Or do we just think we are? Maybe this is a more personal question for you out of the gate. What are you winning at that you really think you end up, you know, you're going to get to keep? The game that you're involved in, you know, the accumulation of more stuff, I need this, I need that. I mean, what are you really winning at? Seriously, bigger hypothetical question. What are you really winning at that you actually think that you get to keep? Think about that. And don't read me wrong. I don't want anybody to read this the wrong way. It's not bad to play the game and be involved. We all work. We get that. It's not bad to be really good at it either. It's not bad to be the master of the board. But here's what I know that will happen for you sooner rather than later, that you will discover this if you haven't already. There will always be more ladders to climb. There'll be more money to make, and there'll be more deals to be done. But the danger is, if you continue to go that way, the farther you go, then you will often forget to ask, what of this stuff really matters? What really matters? I mean, guys, I want you to get this today. Being smart and strong at something, even with financial management, whatever it is, or the accumulation of stuff, or this makes me the person that I am, being that way does nothing. It does nothing to protect you from your predetermined fate when the game is over. Nothing. It really doesn't. Playing for temporary rewards will always, they'll always lull you into pretending this, that the game will never end. But there's 100% certainty for every single person in this room that you will die someday. 100% fact. I know that about all of you. Because the Bible tells me that it is appointed unto man once to die. But we're lured into this. We're like, well, I just want to enjoy while I'm here. Well, yeah, but here's the problem. We don't understand how to put, you know, restraints and parameters on what we enjoy and what really does matter. However, if you look at this thing called the Bible, this book gives us a complete understanding of what actually does lead to enduring satisfaction. A feeling of what I have is enough. I'm complete with that. I'm okay with that. This Bible points directly to what that is, where all of us are searching for something else that will keep us satisfied, that'll get us, you know, continuing on to the next day, that will make us happy. That's not what's making you happy. The Bible says this is how you find true satisfaction, through your generosity. Through your generosity. Through your ability to understand how to give. There's another something that I know about all of you out there today. Every single one in this person, I believe with all my heart, you want to be generous. Nobody in here is like, dude, I ain't, get that basket away from me. You know, nobody's like that. Everybody wants to be generous. Here's what I also know. Most of us that are sitting in this room, you can't be generous. Because we're so upside down in between and all around with this thing called debt. We just don't know how. And it kills you. I get that. It kills you. Anytime that we ask you to serve with your time or give, you know, financially, you're like, dude, I want to so bad, but I can't. If I want food on the table this week, I can't. If I want to drive my car without it being repoed, I can't. You can't, and I get that. But it's killing you. It's killing you because you want to be generous. And how I can say that is fact. I know you are generous because you were created in the image of a generous God. It is at his core. It is at his being to be generous. And he created you, guess what? In his image. You are just like God. And you want to give, but you can't. So here's why. Here's what I would suggest is the main reason why you can't, outside of kind of the realistic things that we said. I believe for most people sitting in this room today, your inability to be generous is because it's being stolen from you. You're being ripped off right in front of you, and you're not even aware of it. So here's what I want to do in this last week of this series. I want to share with you right out of the gate three areas that you are being ripped off in. And I say this because I know I've been ripped off in these areas too as well. And then I'm going to share with you the three thieves, the specific thieves, and what they're doing in your life. So here they are up front, the three areas that you're being ripped off in, okay? If you're a note taker, this is where you want to write notes. Ready? Number one is this: peace. You're being ripped off with your peace. Here's what I mean by that. Nothing keeps more people awake at night than their money or their lack of it, right? The worry. How am I going to do this? How am I going to afford that? I'm serious. Very little has more that keeps people awake than money. Wondering how I'm going to make it work tomorrow. And your peace, the peace of mind that God is in control, I am not, and you're okay with that, is gone. It's just been taken away from you. Here's another area that you're being ripped off in, is your security. It's your security. See, here's what you need to know. God intends everybody to have full confidence in him as our sole provider. Not you, dads, not you. It's to have complete confidence that he is our sole provider. But, because of materialism and greed that's in our culture, or the bad patterns that we form with handling our money, then we have developed these skewed views of something interesting. Something that we think is ours, but it's not really ours to begin with. Security. Ownership. Management. That if you ever get anything with the big biblical principle of generosity, those are the two big ones. Ownership. Management. It's not yours. It's not mine. So your security is being ripped off. Here's another one. And this is where I kind of alluded to it here just a minute ago, that you all want to be generous. But here's another area you're being ripped off. Your opportunity. Your opportunity. It does hurt you. But because of our poor management skills with our money, we've lost the ability to even be obedient. Remember, God doesn't ask you to give. He says in Matthew 6, when you give. God expects you to give. God never asks the question of, hey, when you get around to it, when you make enough money, when you do this, when you do that, I think it might be a good idea that you might consider, you know, giving. God doesn't work that way. Remember what we said last week? God doesn't ask. God what? Commands. Some of you are like, I wasn't here last week. Commands is the word, all right, that you're looking for. God doesn't ask. God commands, and he expects his people to be generous. And the opportunity that is created within all of us is gone. It's been ripped off. You can't do it because of bad management. And you can't even be obedient, and it's killing you. Because you want to be generous, because you were created to be generous. So we're going to look at a familiar passage that we've been talking about in this series. Matthew chapter 6, if you got your Bibles, you can turn there. I believe some of the scriptures are going to be up on the screens as well. If you don't have a Bible, man, we want to give you one for free. We've got one at our care ministries table. Make sure you stop by there and let us give you a free Bible, okay? I want you to take that home with you. But basically, this is a familiar passage, Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 34. Jesus is speaking here. He's speaking to a large crowd that is gathered. And today I want to show you the three financial thieves that I believe often and frequently steal your financial peace. Now, before we wrap up this series, before we wrap up this generosity series, I just want to say something to every single one of you, okay? Out of the gate. I genuinely, sincerely, with all my heart, I love you. I do. I really do. Usually, you reciprocate that and say that back. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, second service. You're not awake. Okay. Thank you very much. I really do. I'm not saying that out loud to get that back. I'm just joking. I really do genuinely love you. And that is why, honestly, that is why I talk about these subjects, you know, money making you funny and all that stuff. That's why we talk about these things. That's why we push in on you, make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's honestly because I love you. I want you to be aware of these things that are very vital to your eternity, not to your
temporary, okay? So I want you to know that I genuinely love you. And secondly, I want you to know this. I appreciate every single one of you. I really, really do. Because of your generosity, we have been able to do amazing things since we started this church called Church of Celebration in Maricopa. We've been able to make his name more famous. Guys, we've got six people in India, that many of you help support, that we've also sent some cash from our church to help those ministries. Guys, $17,000 that we raised, you know, you heard me about it in week number one, but that you, I appreciate you guys responding generously. I appreciate you when we say, hey, we got a new budget, let's give, and you give, and it's amazing, and I appreciate that, but I also appreciate the fact that you don't get mad when I say I'm not satisfied. Because I don't think God is satisfied. I think he wants to keep taking us to new levels. So I want you to know, though, I appreciate it because you've been great and you've been generous. And I encourage you to continue to be generous. Tap the well of what Jesus has for you. I also want to do this because I don't think this is done enough. But as your pastor, I want to tell you publicly right now, thank you. Thank you for being that way. Sometimes you don't get that often enough. And it's like those of us that do give, we don't need the thank you. But I want to tell you, thank you. You need to hear that. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for giving of your time, of your talents, and your treasures. This church wouldn't be what it is if it weren't for you. So thank you. I mean that. And then I also want to say this as a disclaimer. I want you to know this. I'm not perfect with this principle in particular. Mom, thanks for being the only one that laughs. I appreciate that. Everybody else, they had this vision, okay? It's like this glow around me at all times. No, I'm not perfect. I don't have this all figured out. I still live. I mean, and it took me a long time to be financially free and grab a hold of understanding the big idea of the ownership, and I'm still not there. I'm still not there. I still live every week out of white envelopes. Can I get a what FPUers? You know what I'm saying? Some of you are like, well, we abandoned those things. Go back to FPU, okay? I still am working, and I'm a work in process, and I'm going to share some things personally about it where I still struggle. It's difficult. It's a challenge. That's why I share these things. So I'm not perfect at this. I get challenged every time I write a message, and as I've said before, I punch myself in the face before I come and punch you in the face, all right? Because I have to prepare for it, and God speaks to me and is like, ah, really? You want me to say that? Okay. Fine, you know, okay. So I want you to know that out of the gate, all right? But here are, in all sincerity, the three major thieves in your financial peace. The first thief, gullibility. Gullibility. Nasty thing, gullibility. There's two forms of gullibility that I'm talking about with this idea. There's a practical gullibility and there's a spiritual gullibility. Any of you know a gullible person? Raise your hand. Don't look at him. Don't you look at him, because raise your hand. I know a gullible person. Raise your hand. Come on. There's more gullible people. Thank you very much. Don't look at them, people. You're going to be in trouble later. Seriously. I love playing with gullible people. Take my wife, for example. No, let's not take her because she's not here today, so we won't do that. She can't defend herself. Why are you people so dead out there? That was a good joke in the first service. Wake up. I love gullible people. I really do. They are fun to play with, okay, and have some fun with. But the point of this passage that I'm soon going to read is that Jesus warns you and I to not be so gullible when it comes to your finances. And what you really need to get today, celebrators, is this. God originally and has never changed his mind, intended for you to practically and spiritually manage your money wisely. It was his original and has never changed intention. Check this out, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. It's a familiar verse. We've been there earlier in the series, but we're camping on these ideas today. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not, it says, Jesus, remember, Jesus is saying this. Not anybody else, Jesus. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. I just kind of think there should be a parenthetical you know, insert there that says, what you thinking, fool? You know, I mean, wouldn't you think Jesus probably said that? I think he did. I'm going to look for that version later and find it. What you thinking about? But he says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Pretty spiritually impacting closer right there. But here's what I want you to understand if you've never really grabbed a hold of the idea of what Jesus is saying right here. What he's saying is this. If you live your life is constantly consumed and controlled about you or with you accumulating stuff, needing, you know what I'm saying? Needing, well, I shouldn't even say that because needs versus wants, wanting more stuff. Your life is all about getting more stuff, all about getting faster stuff, all about getting bigger stuff, all about getting their stuff. They want to have that. I want that. Or about getting her stuff. I want that too. Or his stuff. If it's all about that, if you live your life this way, then Jesus is basically saying this. That's a very dumb way to live your life. I don't know how else to sugarcoat it, but that in essence, fill in the blanks, that's what Jesus is saying. That's a pretty dumb and naive way to live your life. And you might be wondering, why is that, Josh? Well, it's because this. Jesus says, stuff, it wears out. Stuff, it gets old. Stuff, it breaks. And that's why we have garage sales. Think about it. Listen. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Stuff. And Jesus is saying, this is the idea that I want you to get. It's because this is, I know how you'll lean in your life. The stuff that you wanted last month, It's not going to be the stuff that you want next month. I know that's how you are. And I'll explain that in a minute. Hang with me in this message, Jesus says. Let me get down for a few and I'll tell you why this is the way you lean that way. Some of us are kind of like a deer in headlights. So let me explain that down a little bit more, this gullibility idea, a little more practical for you so you can understand it, okay? Hit a little bit closer to home, so you get this, gullibility. Let's take home loans, for example. This information was provided by an unnamed bank. 90%, please pay attention, 90% of all applicants, they had a minimum of 4 credit cards. 3 out of the 4 were maxed. 82% of all applicants were making 2 car payments that averaged being a payment of $396 for 48 months. And this is great. 1/3 of the younger adult applicants had overdrawn their checking account 90 days before their loan appointment. Gullibility. Get this. Of those applying, it would take an average of 6 years for each of those individuals to pay off their current consumer debt. Debt that didn't include the house that they were applying to buy, if they just stopped charging that day and added nothing else to their credit cards, it would have taken 6 years to pay off their current credit card debt, not including the $140,000, $150,000, $175,000 home loan that they were applying for. Talk about gullibility. Some of us are like, I can't believe that. Did he get my bank's information? You know, you're nervous. You're nervous, aren't you? Yeah. Some of us are like, all right, so let me help you out with another one. One that we're all familiar with, including me. Ready? Finance charges. Anybody love finance charges? Anybody? Nobody? Okay. Finance charges. Let's just take this one, for example. During a recent seminar in South Phoenix directed by a low-income audience, Counselor Jennifer Quillen of the social agency Newton Community Development Corp. in Tempe walked through the impact of charging a $1,000 TV set on a credit card and making only the monthly minimum payments. And the question was, how long would it take to pay off a $1,000 TV at 16.9% interest, paying only the minimum? Paying only the minimum. Now, when I say minimum, everybody's like, yeah, dude, I am with you. Because that minimum, I like that minimum thing, right? I loved that minimum thing for like 15 years. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's all I got to pay back. I don't have to pay it all back right now. You know what I'm saying? Only the minimum. And then you know what's really cool is when I get that invitation in the mail that's like, hey, dude, you have been qualified and approved for a new credit card, and this is your balance. And you're like, yes, I don't have to pay this one off. I'll just transfer the balance over here. And this is what we all do. It just kind of adds up, doesn't it? You know what I'm saying? $10,000, $15,000, $25,000. Some of us are like, I'm in way over my head. You know exactly what we're talking about right here. Even with this example of a $1,000 TV set, 16.9%. You know how long it would take? 16.9% paying only the minimum of a $1,000 TV? Only 9.3 years. That's it. Equaling a total purchase price when it's all said and done of over $2,500 spent. For an original $1,000 TV set. Congratulations, folks. You just bought 2.5 TVs over the last 9.3 years. Listen to us laugh. We've all been, you know you have. I know you have. You have been there. You have. And someone's like, that's no big deal. I'm just going to get a new TV in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. And I'll just finance that one, too. Ah. Gullibility. And some of us are out there. I get it. You're at church today, and you're like, Josh, what does any of this have to do with the Bible? That's your problem. All of this does. You don't think it is, but all of it does. You know why? Because here's why. We have separated our lives time and time again, and we've put God, Jesus. You're my man, dude. We put Jesus in our God box right here, dude. You're awesome, man. I've even signed up for a life group, too, you know what I'm saying? So we hang out like twice a week now. That's awesome. So, bro. And then here's what happens when we start talking about touchy subjects. I don't know, you know, like money, something like that. We're like, hey, you stay here, dude. I'll be back Thursday night. Remember? Over at the Barretts life group, okay? I'll be back. Stay there, Jesus. And then we've kept God out of all these other boxes in our life, our TV, our finances, our money, our drinking, our pornography. We've kept him out of all these, out of our marriage, out of our parenting. We've kept him out of all these boxes. God, you stay there, stay there. And that's your problem. What does this money thing have anything to do? What finance charges, what does any of that have to do? From the beginning, just so you know, God has wanted in all of your boxes. All along. Check it out. I want in every box. That's what he said. Listen to what God is saying here again, folks. 6:20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Reading between the lines, this is what Jesus was saying extremely clearly. You are gullible. You are so gullible to believe the press and live a life that's all about what you wear, what you drive, where you live, that determines who you are. Stop being so gullible, he says. Stop getting ripped off. Some of us, it's so hard though, I get it. God just has to break you down. But guys, it doesn't take a genius to know that there's a problem with your finances. It doesn't. You don't have to keep pretending that there's not a problem, because the whole world knows there's a problem. And your ability to not be generous is largely in part to the fact that you're being ripped off. You're being ripped off. I don't know. Why not then? Why not let the church bring in some practical money management? Bring in the Bible. Incorporate it into your finances. Why not consider what God has to say? How's it going for you? Why not? What does it hurt to give it a shot? Gullibility. Don't be gullible, Jesus says. Here's the second thief. Second thief, greed. Greed. Just a forewarning, there's probably a very good chance that we're going to come after some of your idols with this point. Okay, just up front. Let me start off with this question. What in your life do you just absolutely love? My precious. You know, you just love having in your life or doing in your life. Well, what is it? Just like doing this. Love it. You know what I'm saying? What is it? Throw a couple out. Stimulate the brain. Is your idol golfing? Is it golfing? Is your idol boating? Is your idol vacationing? Is your idol clothes? Is your idol Cardinals season tickets? Is your idol cars? And some of us are out there and we're wiser and we're better at financial management. We're thinking, you go, Pastor, you preach to the young people. You know, they need to hear this. And you got it all under control. And we know why you have it under control, because you're wise and you've followed God's way and you've planned, but you watch that stock market every day. So is your idol your 401k? See, this message applies to everybody. Read the disclaimer at the bottom of the line. You know what I'm saying? Is your idol upgrades? Upgrades. Wanna upgrade. You know what I'm saying? What is it? What is your idol? Because right now, I just want you to know, Jesus is gonna come at your idol. Be thinking about it. Okay? He's gonna come at your idol. Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Stop. Time out. Don't look at the screens. Look at me. Eyes on me right now. Eyes on me. Don't look around. Don't look at anybody. Don't look like this, you know, like, what is he doing, you know, like this. And if you're ADHD, just hold your face still, okay? Just look at me. Look at me. We have talked briefly in our series, but for today, about this idea. But let me unpack the magnitude. Stay with me. Listen to this. Jesus, about what he's going to say next, is about to identify there's two masters that are constantly in competition with your life. There are going to be two masters in your life, and Jesus is about to, what he's about ready to say, he's going to draw a line in the sand, and he's going to say, this side or this side, you choose, just so you know, just so you know. Just keep reading. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other. Or he will be devoted to the one or he will be despised by the other. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. This is it. This is the line. You cannot serve both God and money. What does he mean by this? I've often wondered, why does he say money? I mean, when you think about it, after all, money isn't necessarily bad. You're like, no, the Bible says it. No, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Money's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily good either. Money is amoral, right? It is. Money is what you make it. Money reflects the giver. But what Jesus is saying here, super important, is this: at the end of every single day of your life, you look back and you see the trail of how you lived that day. I'm going to know whether or not you chose to worship me or your stuff. See, guys, what you need to get, when Jesus talks and talked about money, it never had anything to do with money. Never did. It had everything to do with ownership. What we talked about the first week, God wants to be number one. He didn't even care what the rest of the list is. He wants to be number one. The greater question here is like, who really does own you? I've heard many preachers, and it's so true, let somebody see your bank statement and you'll know exactly who owns you. Here's what you need to get today, folks. Greed, the second thief. Greed is a condition of the heart where we either worship the resource or we worship the source of the resource. Where we either worship the stuff or we worship the one who gave us the stuff. What it is. It's a condition of the heart. Hey, here's one for you. This is good. If you really want to know about greed, have a kid. I get an amen on that one? Yeah, you guys, let that one sink in. It kind of needs to marinate a little bit. Everybody was kind of in the first service like, oh my gosh, you're right. Have a kid. All right, I believe Isaac's Christmas wish list this past year accumulated $32,276.16. It's like, you know, give us a wish list. Oh, wow. You know, his little sister, Cherish's, wasn't too far behind. Hers was $25,248.78. So, all right, listen. Now, just so you know, I'm a very generous daddy. Each of them got $200 about of that amount, all right? Of their $32,000, of their $28,000, they got $200 each, okay? You know, that we invested in them for their Christmas. But what's absolutely crazy here, is this. It never is usually about what they got. That was the big deal. It was all about what they didn't get. That was the big deal. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes. You know that you spoiled, rotten, greedy kids and everything like that. Well, you're the same way. You are. You know what I'm saying? Wife says, hey, come on, let's go. You can get that driver and you go and you're just like, but you see the whole set. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dude, I haven't gotten clubs for like 12 months, and I just need this new, brand new set. And she's like, no, just the driver, and you get the driver. And you're like, even though you walked away with a brand new driver, but what you didn't get was the set. You're mad. All you ladies are, yeah, you preach, pastor, for my husband right now. You ladies are the same way. You see those new shoes? And you want those new shoes, dude? I bet you 90% of the ladies that are sitting here today, I'd go in your closet and you'd have more shoes than there are children in Africa. I bet you. Yeah. All the guys that are laughing know it because their wives are that way. And all the guys that aren't laughing know that you still haven't got your club and you want to get your club first before you start laughing about that joke. We're the same way. It's greed. And we've forgotten the big picture. None of it's yours. None of it. None of it. It's all God's to begin with. And all that he's ever asked you to do is give back 10% tangibly as a definition of obedience to basically acknowledge, you're just acknowledging, he's the owner of my life. What's 10%? If he's the owner. Now, I know this tithe concept is a touchy subject, and some of you have been waiting, dude. You've been 4 weeks, you haven't said anything about tithe. I knew it was coming. It says here. I'm not going to talk about tithe. I'm not. There's so many definitions that are out there, I get it, that have been offered as to what, how much, gross, net, Old Testament versus New Testament, grace versus law, whatever. I could go round and round with you, and I believe what I believe because it's biblically based, but I'm not going to go there today, so let me put it this way. Let me just personalize it with you because I feel like that does work well when I can lay myself on an altar to sacrifice myself and make fun of myself. So here's the deal. When God called Ginger and I to plant and start the Church of Celebration in Maricopa, Arizona, basically, God placed on our heart this greater level of total surrender. And we'd already been in ministry for 10 years, and we're like, can we go any farther? Yes, there's even more that you can give. There's even more that you can sacrifice, and this is where it is. And he really took us to this level of everything in your life. And sometimes that was familiarity, because we were living, remember, in my hometown, free babysitting. You know what I'm saying? Free babysitting, north and south of us, like 5 minutes. And we didn't have it for like the first 4 years. And I said, Mom, you have to retire and you have to come out. I have to have free childcare. This is not going to work anymore. So Lisa got her here, okay? Still working on the other one. But since I here's what you need to know. I have always practiced 10% tithing and giving as obedience in my personal finances. It's just something that I have. It's not always been easy. It didn't always make sense. But I did it. And since I didn't want to shortchange God, I knew that moving out here to start a church, it was probably going to cost me a little bit more with my time and my talents and probably my treasures because I knew it was going to be a challenge to come out here and ask people to make up what my wife and I combined income to make up to live. Probably wasn't a reality. Meaning, starting a church from scratch was going to cost Ginger and myself something much greater. And it did. It did. Just speaking personally for me and my story, when Ginger and I moved to Arizona, this is one of the hardest areas that was a challenge. That Ginger and I had to take our combined income that we had worked very, very, very hard for, 10 years in ministry to actually get to, because I started in a ministry where I made nothing, and I had worked for 10 years to get to here. Ginger worked as well, and we lived to this level, and we were kind of finally, for the first time in 10 years, living a little comfortable. And then God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start a church 1,300 miles away. And you're probably not going to raise that much money, so you need to cut your lifestyle down. And we did. It was hard. We had to drop our entire combined income probably 50%. So for me, it was like almost starting over again. And it was hard to completely have faith that God would provide what I still needed. See, I had grown accustomed to living this way and thought, this is comfortable, because I had sacrificed a lot earlier and this was the life. I'm finally comfortable. And when I mean comfortable, I'm not like going out and buying new houses and new cars and all that kind of stuff. I'm just like, you know, finally being able to pay my bills kind of a thing. And it was hard. It's like, God, you're going to have to show up and show off in this. You really are. And that was a challenge. And I'll tell you right now, that sacrifice has taken Ginger and I to a place in our faith financially that I never would have ever dreamed, ever had dreamed that he would have ever been able to take us. I'm telling you this, it's a challenge because Ginger and I have always just made this determination. Whenever God says, you need to give towards this, you need to give towards this, you need to give towards that, we have learned to not even ask God why. And it's not easy because I still think it, and the Holy Spirit punches me and says, get that out of your brain. okay? And here's how I think it often. When at the end of every year, this is so hard, so hard. But at the end of every year, when we get those little things called contribution statements that we send out for your taxes and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? And I get that from this church for me and Ginger's Giving, and I get that from the other missions and church plant organizations that we also contribute to, and I get those, and then I start like thinking, I'm adding those up, and I'm starting thinking, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, greed is welling up in my life, and I'm thinking, oh my God. What could I have used this stuff for if I didn't have to give it there? Why am I telling you this? Because I'm right where you are. I am smelling every bit of what I'm smoking for you. Seriously, I'm living this. What kind of leader, would draw his sword and say, give, 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 charge, let's go, church, come on. And all of you pass me and I'm patting you on the butt, go get him, and I stay back and watch you give. What kind of leader would that be? Here's the deal. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is, I feel you. I get what greed is all about, and I still am challenged hard by it. But here is the counterbalance that always alleviates the greed when it wells up. I don't even think, you know, if it's going to show up. I always think, when is it going to show up? Because it's coming. Here's what's always alleviated my greed. Always. Just speaking for me personally, with all that that God's taken us through, I have always increased my giving when God says, give. I have always done it. It's not even up for question or debate. And here's what's amazing. I still have nice things. I still go on vacations. I still go on dates. I still have nice clothes. Look at me. Do I not look good today? I mean, look at this. I still am able to buy things for my kids for their birthdays. And I'm still, even after all of that, when God says, I want you to give a little bit more in this area, I'm still able to even give towards that. I say all that for this particular reason. For some reason, it seems that I always have never been in need. Maybe it's because he knows my needs even before I knew them. Go figure. And I am so extremely grateful for the godly heritage of having grandparents that modeled giving liberally and abundantly to the level of 50% of their annual incomes to the church and to missions. Wow. I'm so grateful that I had godly parents that grabbed a hold of what they taught them, and to this day, and they'll get mad at me, but I don't care. I don't care. To this day, they give 30%+ of their incomes to church and missions. And this is where some of us push back. We're like, yeah, I didn't have that as a guide. To which I would say, then start now so your children do. Start now. All right, listen. I take the lid off, that works better. Ask yourself this question with greed. You might want to write this down in regards to greed. This question, and we'll go to the third thief and we'll be done. Is your source of living stealing your source of giving?
Just ask yourself that question, all right? All right, the third thief, fear. Fear. Matthew 6, 25 through 34, big verses. I just want to skip down to one verse we kind of talked about last week, but I want to emphasize it and end this series on this. Remember that part that it says, don't worry about things, because your heavenly Father knows that you need them. I want you to get the big idea of this point as we close this series, okay? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. That means this, once again, your daddy, your father wants more for you than you could ever dream for yourself. And the fear that drives us of needing that or wanting that or gotta have that, that just takes away our joy, that fear, it removes your eyesight off of your father already knows what you need. So don't worry about it. But the fear comes in thinking that you're responsible for your finances. You're responsible for how you live in this world. You're responsible for this. You're responsible for that. It all comes down here. God's name's not on the title. Ownership. Management. Remember what we said last week? Don't worry about what you think you need, because if you needed it, God knew you needed it before you even knew you needed it. Remember this. So cling to this promise. I don't think you have to say much more about fear, but cling to this promise whenever fear tries to sneak in and steal your financial peace, all right? Swirls in your mind. Think of this one. This is a verse. You got to put it on an index card, sticky note. Get it in front of your face every single day. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, that's God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all you could ask or even imagine. That means dream, think of, come up with some harebrained idea of, no, God's already been there. According to his power, that's at work within us. Somebody please say wow about that verse. Wow. So let me close with this question today. I'm going to close this with this question, with this series. With all that being said, are you really like God? Or do you just think you are? Don't have to answer that out loud. You really like God. Please hold on to this fact, folks. We, children of God, we are molded in his image, in his likeness. So the more that we give, the more we are actually becoming like him. And the more then we start leaning away from we think we own everything to God owns everything, that leads to a life of greater generosity. And God does not ask anything from us that he wasn't already willing to do for us. You doubt me? John 3:16. Check that one out. I promise you, folks, in closing, listen, that you are never more like Christ than when you give in the pure essence of the generous spirit in which you were created in. You weren't. All right, do me a favor. Bow your heads and close your eyes real quick. I want to explain something to you. Stay with me. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. For the last 4 weeks, we've been collecting this second cash offering, as you are aware. And here's why. We genuinely want to teach you that when it comes to your money, it's not what God wants from you, it's what he wants for you. And some of you gave even when you didn't really have anything to give, and I think that is amazing, I think that is awesome, and I am so proud of you. And some of you gave unbelievably liberal, unbelievably abundant, you were generous, and I think that is awesome. Now, if you remember, in the first week, this passage came out, Matthew 6:2. This was Jesus again. He said, when you give, not if,
I expect my people to give. When you give, catch this next part. It says, you give to the needy. Now, this passage commands basically two things. Number one, God's people give. They just do. No questions asked. And when they give, this is one of the areas that you give towards. You give to those who are in need. And basically what that means is when you take what you have and you give it to somebody who has less than you have, then all you're doing is you're just being and doing what Jesus did and was. And as you kind of saw in that opening video, one of the unbelievable ministries that I absolutely love here at this church is the benevolent ministry. And one of the reasons why is I think that the turnaround of this ministry of seeing people come to Christ is probably one of our highest percentages in which we've been able to meet a tangible need in somebody's life. We've been able to meet a tangible need in somebody's life, and they have come to know Christ. And I think that's absolutely amazing. And that's kind of what our cash offering is all about and has been about for these last 4 weeks. Here's what we're doing. We want to help meet your needs today. Here's why. We know that your needs are real. We know that your needs have put you into a position that hurts, and it's hard. And here's what we want to do. It's crazy. I know it's crazy. But we want to bless you. Bless you. That's it. Someone's like, well, what do you want back? Nothing. What? Are you crazy? Yeah, this is kind of crazy. Some of us are like, well, dude, some of those people did that thing and got themselves in this own trouble. Why are you giving away? You know what? God knows that. And God knew that with every leper that he ever touched, with every sick person that he ever healed. He knew all of that stuff, but he did it anyway, and it brought someone closer to trusting him, and that's what we're about. It's another opportunity for us to share with you that when you give, here's what we do. We take what you give, we turn it around, and we invest it. We plant seeds in people's lives. So we want to, with that cash that's been collected, we want to bless you. And we believe that we should take care of our own for sure. And I get it. There are people sitting in this room and you are in a bad place financially. I don't know what it is. Maybe an unexpected breakdown of your car this week. Maybe it was I had to take my kid to urgent care this week and I don't have the money to pay for that. Maybe you don't have enough money to put food on the table this week because you had to pay this bill. I don't know what's gotten you into that position. All I know is I know that need hurts and I know that need is real. And today, your church wants to bless you and contribute towards that need. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. So here's all we're asking. Here in a minute, we're going to stand to our feet after we pray and we're going to sing a song. It's called the What's Next Moment. If you're in that position, I'm going to challenge you to have the boldness and the courage to just simply walk back to your right. Everybody's right. It's the east. Don't look there right now. It's the east lobby. But it's all to your right, that back door. And out there is a table that will give you an envelope. And they will thank you for having the courage to come see them. And then, I lied. There is one thing we want to do for you. You don't have to fill out a form. You don't have to fill out a questionnaire as to why you're need or what it is. Don't worry about that. I got to run a credit check. Here's all we want to do. Please allow us to pray with you. That's it. Now some of us won't want to do this. Our pride will be like, dude, somebody might see me. What are you worried about? Your church wants to bless you. And if you don't get up because of your pride, let me just speak straightforward. All you're doing is stealing a blessing from us. And I take that offensive. That bothers me. Because we want to bless you. So, the door's going to be open. You go back there. Let us bless you. It'll be open after this song as well, too, for a little while, so don't worry about that. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are like, dude, I wish I would have come to first service, too. You know what I'm saying? We love you. And because of your generosity, we get to be generous in other people's lives today. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stand to our feet. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We think this is amazing. The opportunity to bless people in our lives. I just pray that you would give people the courage today to just go back and do it. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. It's hard. But we want to be the church that does what you command the church to do. Give. Give to those who are in need. We want to take care of our own. So give some people some courage to go back there. Let us bless them today. I thank you, Jesus, for this series. I pray that you moved in amazing ways in people's lives, that you brought them a little bit closer to the edge. Some people, the light went on. They're like, oh my gosh, I want to experience that life. Freedom in my finances. Freedom in my generosity. I want to go to another level with you, Jesus. I pray that you push them over the edge. I pray that you just blow them away. Blow them away with providing their needs, Jesus. Thank you for this church. I'm humbled to be called their pastor, and I'm humbled to be able to share truth. And I just pray, Lord, that you would move in mighty ways in all of their lives. We love you in your precious and holy, holy, holy Son's name. Amen.